This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, Chris and I discussed how we image computers. This week, Chris is on a trip with his family, so I'm flying solo to talk about Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show. Before I get into today's show, my solo show today, I just wanted to say thanks to Audible for sponsoring our episode. You can go to audibletrial.com/educatingtech and get a 30-day free trial and a free audiobook of your choice from their very large library. Audible Day isn't actually 2 days for me, as I record this on May 8th, or June 8th, sorry, I don't want to go back in time. It's June 8th. June 10th will be Audible Day for me. I get my Audible credits to be able to pick up my next book in this series that I'm listening to. And the one I'm actually listening to, there's a show on NBC called Midnight Texas, which is kind of like a supernatural show by the writer that wrote the books that the Showtime show True Blood was, or HBO show True Blood was based on. And so I'm listening to the three books that that TV show Midnight Texas is based on. And I'm actually on the second book called Day Shift. And I like to listen to some really good books every once in a while. And then sometimes I just like to listen to some, maybe not be the best written books, but they're just kind of fun to listen to, fun to read. I listened to and read a combination of those of that media for the books, the Sookie Stackhouse series about the vampires in Louisiana. It's just kind of fun, and so sometimes I just like to read or listen to fun things, and so that's kind of what I'm doing this time. Is I'm listening to I'm on the second book called Day Shift. It's just some fun stories every once in a while. It's just short books to, short, I say that they're 10-hour books, but just some short books in the middle of like these 30-hour long, epic books that, Chris has me reading. but yeah, it's just fun. And Audible's great, especially for car rides. You'll hear me talk a little bit later in the episode about, audiobooks and how much, and some features, new features that I want from Apple from WWDC with it. But I just love audio. I mean, I like spoken word podcasts and audiobooks. I mean, I'd rather listen to that than music these days. And so I just, every time I drive somewhere, went and saw a movie last night in Beaumont and listened to an audiobook on the way. And so it's just, I just like times like that where you can just kind of listen to a book. And a lot of times hearing someone like do different voices and things like that just sort of bring the book to life and make it better in some ways. But yeah, try it out. Audibletrial.com/educatingtech. Get a free book. Any book you want, really. Credit per book. You can start with Game of Thrones or anything, really. Lots of good stuff there. But thanks to Audible for sponsoring our show. And last but not least, before we get started, if you like what we're doing, I kind of mentioned it at the intro, sign up at patreon.com/educatingtech, become a patron. There's going to be some cool stuff. I know Chris is working on some things and I'm working on editing some of my scripts that I use to take out some information that I can make more generic and not domain specific for my school to be able to share up there some useful stuff. And so become a patron if you like what we're doing or you want to help us out to keep the lights on. That would be great. Patreon.com/educatingtech. So last week we weren't able to record because just some things with the end of the year came up and our schedules just didn't work out for us. But what we were going to talk about was sort of a preview for WWDC. And since I'm the big Apple nerd between the two of us, I was going to basically give my wish list of things that I would like to come from WWDC. We were going to kind of take like a, just kind of go off topic from education. And so we're going to do that this week. And since I'm flying solo, because, you know, Chris doesn't like Apple as much as I do, I figured it'd be okay because I can just kind of talk about the things about WWDC that I liked and maybe some things that I would like to see them do a little bit different or likewise. But I do want to go over my wish list that I had typed up for last week, if we were able to be recorded. And come to find out, look, over reviewing my wish list, it looks like a lot of this is actually going to come true. So I'll start with like what I wanted from like both operating systems, both macOS and iOS. The first thing on my list was I kind of wanted them to Sherlock. And for those that are not familiar with the word Sherlock, there used to be an application that became, I think, Spotlight Search. There was one on the Mac called Watson, and Apple basically took that whole program and made it a program called Sherlock. And so they basically took the whole ideas and features of that third-party client and made it a first-party native client. And so that's kind of where the term Sherlock comes from, is when Apple takes basically the idea and features of a third-party product and makes it its own. And so I was kind of wanting them to, and as much as I love 1Password, I was kind of hoping them to Sherlock 1Password. And what I mean by that is, like, yes, it has iCloud keychain access where it can save usernames and passwords in Safari, but there's really no way to access those usernames and passwords other than Safari preferences on the Mac, from what I could tell. But, and so I kind of wanted, like, them to make, like, a keychain access app where you can kind of see and edit your passwords, maybe add in, the one-time password generation with the scanning the QR code if you want to do two-factor authentication, those sort of things, natively built into the system. Because lately I've been on this kick where if it's got a first-party app, I'm just going to use that instead of a third-party app, just because I'm just kind of experimenting with some native experiences. And so I think it would be interesting if Apple wants people to, and Apple likes it when you stay with their applications as opposed to using third parties. And so I really think it would be great if Apple made it easier to see and edit your saved passwords in iOS and macOS. Also put that I wanted more handoff and continuity features. I'd like more things to be able to hand off easier from the Mac or the iPad or the iPhone to each other. I would really like it, make it easier to be able to hand off things from other devices to the iPhone. Because I've been having some trouble with that lately, and I remember when the feature first came out, it would show up a little icon on the lock screen, and I haven't really even been seeing that, so I'm kind of don't even know really how to use handoff and continuity from other devices to the iPhone itself. It's really easy on the Mac because an icon will show up on the dock, and the same with the iPad, an icon will show up on the dock from what you're doing on the iPhone or one of the other devices. And so I like that feature, but I don't know how they could implement that on the iPhone per se, except maybe something that kind of does like the AirPod pairing menu where it kind of slides up from the bottom, maybe not as in your face, taking over the whole screen as that. But yeah, I would just kind of like something like that. And if any listeners out there actually know how to access handoff from the iPhone, please let me know, because I'm trying to figure it out, because there's been some times that I've wanted to hand some things off. Another thing that I wanted from both OSs was I kind of wanted audiobooks in the cloud. I think a couple years ago, Apple gave us the ability to upload our DRM-free iBooks, or eBooks, rather. We'll use the generic term. And PDF documents and all these other things. And so basically they could be stored. And it's in your iCloud drive, but they live in the iBooks app, which has obviously been renamed Apple Books, which I think is a great move. But they gave us that ability to sync those files and books and PDF documents from device to device. And I would really like to see them do that with audiobooks, so that I can, particularly, I'd like to download my Audible books from Audible and use iBooks or Apple Books to listen to the books, as opposed to using the Audible app, just because I kind of like the CarPlay experience better on the Apple Books app over the Audible app. It seems to load a little bit faster in the car. And so I would like that ability, but the problem with that is they don't sync. I mean, I can download them right now and sync them through iTunes, but the playback position doesn't sync between devices. And so I'd really like them to maybe work with Audible or something to kind of figure out a way to make that work. But I don't even know if that's possible. But for macOS specific things, I kind of wanted them to break up iTunes. I wanted an Apple Music app, a podcast app. I'd like to move audiobooks from the iTunes app application to Apple Books or iBooks at the time. I'd like Safari to support some PWAs, some progressive web apps, just because, like they took the native Twitter app away from, macOS. And so I'd like an easier way to have like a smaller window open, to use Twitter that had access to like Safari notifications and things like that. I'd like Siri capabilities to match iOS. I know there's some things that Siri on the Mac cannot do compared to Siri on iOS, and so I'd like basically the feature set to be the same in both locations because I want to get used to using Siri. I'm trying to use Siri more to do more things, and I'd like the feature set to match on both both devices. Another thing I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to turn the Mac into an AirPlay receiver natively without the need of a third-party application. I just think Apple could do that better. I know, especially now with AirPlay 2 coming out, I would like them to do, well, AirPlay 2 is out. And so it takes the delay out of the syncing of the audio and things like that. Because without a native podcast app, sometimes I want to listen to podcasts with the 1.5 speed and things like that I listen to them on the Mac, but iTunes doesn't give you the ability to speed up playback of podcasts, and this is really the only reason why I'd like it. And so if iTunes actually added in 1.5 playback or any kind of other speed playback, then this wouldn't necessarily be necessary. But I mean, apps like Reflector and I think Airfoil maybe I think is another one. That kind of turn the Mac into a an AirPlay device, which a lot of people use in schools for students to be able to share their work on the iPad without the need for buying an Apple TV. You could solve the same problem with a $15 piece of software. AirServer is another one that can do that. And so I think Apple could do that better and make it a little bit more consistent and work a little bit better if they did it. But Reflector is a really good app. So, I mean, that's always a solution for this issue. Well, it's not really an issue, but this feature request. For iOS things, I'm mainly focused on podcast features in the podcast app because I like the integration with the iTunes search for podcasts that is built into the application. I like the CarPlay experience of the podcast app better than the other applications that I've used in the past for podcasts. and the rumor was that this wasn't going to be a real big feature intensive update. They were really going to focus on performance and things like that and bug fixes and to try to make it a little bit more stable. And so I was kind of wanting some of those podcast features that from like Overcast and Pocket Cast that they have, not necessarily the trim silence, even though that would be great. But I'd like the volume boost where it would like automatically boost the volumes for some podcasts, because I know there's one that I started listening to that's like really soft and I don't know if it's just because I'm old and can't hear very well, but I just have trouble hearing it. I would like them to add chapter support as well, just to kind of make it a little bit easier to skip around in podcasts that they may be talking about a particular subject that I may not be that interested in. I can go ahead and just skip to the next chapter. I'd like to redesign iBooks, which they obviously kind of made it Apple Books. I'd like the audiobook playback to kind of look like podcasts and music. It doesn't look, the UI doesn't look consistent with the other two. The little card interface that I guess everybody stole from WebOS back in the day. So I'd like the audiobook playback to look kind of like that. And then I put just kind of general bug fixes because I know I have a lot of trouble and I've had a lot of trouble since iOS 11. And I know a lot of other people do too, if you read like comments on Reddit and just kind of search the internet. For hardware, which is kind of completely negated at this point, but I did put on my list that I'd like to see some new keyboards for the MacBook Pros, but it didn't happen. And in fact, they even said that WWDC was going to be focused on hardware, in software, not hardware. So they kind of like prepared us at the beginning of the keynote. So let's talk about like what actually happened at the keynote and how it happens, how my wish list did. As far as Sherlocking 1Password, they actually kind of did it, but they just buried it in the settings. I am running the iOS 12 beta. Our school is a registered developer account, so I read on Twitter that a lot of people were saying that the iOS 12 beta was actually running better than iOS 11.4 on their phones. And so I was like, well, I'll just go ahead and give it a shot since nobody's really complaining about crashes and things like that. And so I installed it, and it looks like they do make a way to easily access and see and edit your saved passwords on iOS. So I'm not running the Mojave, macOS Mojave beta because I've always had better luck with iOS betas, and it's a little bit easier to roll back an iOS device than it is a macOS device. And so I've been running it on my iPhone and my iPad, and there's two things that they did here. The reason why I like Keychain Access, because it's really convenient whenever you have a login screen on an app, and it just sort of suggests a password for you based on like the web address of the application, and so you just kind of click that and it fills in the password. And so that's kind of why I wanted them to take some of the features from 1Password, like the ability to see and edit your saved passwords, and so that. Because that was more convenient than having to open 1Password, copy the app, or click the little icon to bring up the share sheet to be able to open 1Password. Having it like right there as an autofill was just amazing. But there's two things they did here. Not only did they give you the ability to see and edit our saved passwords, but they also created a account password API, a password manager API, where 1Password, and they've actually shown this off in a video, 1Password can actually tie into autofill. And so it kind of solves both things. It's like I get to use 1Password because I like 1Password so much because it can do much more than passwords, but it gets to show up in autofill, so it gets to be just as convenient as Keychain Access. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. I didn't really see any more handoff or continuity features. I didn't get the audiobooks in the cloud. They didn't break up iTunes from what I can tell. I didn't get standalone app podcast app. They did kind of redesign iBooks and call it Apple Books. I haven't seen like screenshots of Apple Books on macOS Mojave to see if maybe it kind of redesigned it or anything. I didn't see anything about support for PWAs in Safari, but I haven't really dug too much into the documentation yet, and I don't think it's come out yet. Siri is getting some fabulous new features with the ability of Siri shortcuts, which it's from the workflow app that they bought year before last. They're finally going to integrate it, and so basically they're kind of, you can kind of think of it as Amazon Echo Skills, where basically you can build a Echo request for anything. I'm kind of looking forward to playing with Siri shortcuts. You only have like a limited function of it right now from the settings app. You can kind of set Siri commands to do from the workflow app, but they're supposed to like release a new version of workflow called Siri shortcuts, which is have better tie in to this feature. And actually, they're going to release it where apps can actually have the ability to create shortcuts within the app application itself. And so I'm kind of looking forward to playing with that. I didn't really see anything about the AirPlay receiver natively. When it came to the podcast app on iOS, I got chapter support, which is really cool for podcasts. And so they're supporting native MP3 chapters, which includes, I kind of noticed that they're doing custom embedded artwork for the chapters, sort of works. It's been kind of sketchy on the iOS 12 beta as far as that artwork changing. But it's a start, it's there, and so the podcast app is actually getting kind of closer to feature compatibility with other applications, and so I'm kind of looking forward to that. And another big thing that they changed for podcasts is they gave, when you use it in CarPlay, you usually have like next and previous buttons on your steering wheel. Well, those used to be set to move to the next podcast or go to the, or restart the podcast or go to the previous podcast. They finally let you change the function of those buttons, and now they can be the skip ahead and skip backwards buttons based on the and another thing that they did, they let you change the time that you can skip ahead and go back to. Like, I prefer to skip ahead 30 seconds but go back 15 seconds, and so it used to be just set to 15 seconds for both, and so they kind of let you do that. And so the podcast app has actually gotten a lot of cool features that I like, and the experience in using it has been great. The podcast, as I'm recording this on Friday morning, the podcast that I was referring to that was really soft actually dropped in my feed this morning, and so I haven't actually gotten a chance to see if they've done anything with like volume boost or anything to see if that makes it that podcast easier to listen to. But I don't know if maybe, but I really wouldn't be able to tell if it was the podcast app or maybe the podcast itself actually increased the volume, if there's any change there. But there's nothing in the settings or anything as far as volume boost goes. They did redesign iBooks a little bit. they gave it a different font from the rest of the system, which is kind of cool. And in a way, it kind of brings back a little bit of the skeuomorphism design, in where you actually have like images of like real books and things like that. So the iBooks app, or the Apple Books app itself, looks really cool. And the store, access to the store and things like that look really, really awesome. But they didn't really change the audiobook playback screen like I was hoping that they would match the podcast and music app. This is still beta one. Maybe that's coming down the line. They don't build Rome in a day, right? It takes time. And from what everybody was saying on Twitter as far as the beta running better on devices, I kind of see it too. This has been the first time that I've ever run a beta, especially a beta one, that ran as smooth as what it does. I've only had like one app crash that doesn't work, and it's not even the whole app that crashes. It's just like one feature of the app. Granted, it's a very important feature of the app that I'd really like for it to have, but that's okay. I'll figure out a workaround for it. But that's really the only issue that I've had with as far as the applications that I use. Everything seems to work, but it'll only improve as development continues and more betas come out. What I really want to talk about, though, now, there's kind of two things that really kind of piqued my interest in this. I mean, if you kind of look at it as a whole, the WWDC conference keynote, it kind of wasn't, it wasn't as like whiz bang fireworks exciting. But when they said they're going to focus, when they made, what kind of got me was, they said they're going to take like older devices, like an iPhone 6S or an iPhone 6 Plus rather, and they're going to make it 40% faster to open apps and 50% faster to open the keyboard. It's almost like they're taking this whole Apple's planned obsolescence that people are, I guess, getting tired of to heart, because they're now focused that iOS 12 is actually making older devices run better. And so I like this. I like this idea of like, let's do a performance, an enhancement, release, as opposed to all these new features that, you know, may take, 51 weeks to be able to come out, because like messages in the cloud was announced at last year's WWDC, and it came out literally a week before this year's WWDC. And so not over promising all these features and not being able to deliver on a timely fashion, may be a good thing for Apple this time, because they can really focus and button down all these bugs and make it run better on older devices. And so I really think it's great. I really think it's a great idea. But the other big star of the event, I think, was Screen Time. It's an application that's built into the software in settings, which kind of tells you about, and the big keywords that they're throwing around is digital health. And so it kind of tells you how much time you're spending on your phone, and what applications you're in most of all, and things like that. And so I really like this feature. It actually gives parents the ability to lock down iOS devices for children. Unfortunately, my 4-year-old uses a generation 1 iPad mini, and so he definitely won't be getting these features unless we decide to upgrade that device. But the ability to like lock down time limits for certain apps, which, you know, Kindle's been doing it for a while, and Google just introduced it at Google I/O this year, and so it's only natural that Apple focuses on it too. So it's really cool. But what I really hope, and I really haven't really dug into any kind of documentation yet, but I've kind of want the Screen Time features to come to mobile device management, because it would really be cool for teachers, say from like the classroom app or some other application, or even me from the server side, to be able to say, students only get 30 minutes of game app access a day. And so that will kind of force the students not to just sit there and play games on their iPads, but to actually do some education stuff. And I know there's educational games, and those would be fine. But like in some of our classes, the teachers have requested like Jetpack Joyride, just for the students to use and to play on whenever they're finished with their work. Because I mean, you can't, you don't, I mean, it's just like work. There's, I mean, nobody's working from 8 to 4 every minute, every second of the day. There's always like some downtimes and breaks in between like tasks or whatever. You take a water break or do something else. And so students are the same way. They're not doing schoolwork from beginning of the morning bell to the end of the day bell. There's always like some down periods, like when a student finishes a project or a worksheet and they're waiting on everybody else to finish. And so those types of downtimes. And so that's kind of like where those teachers ask for those certain games so the students can play during those times. And there's not a whole lot of them that they do. In some applications, I actually say, no, we're not getting that. So some of them on principle, like Candy Crush, I just refuse to push out just because I don't like Candy Crush. But I'm probably in the standalone, I'll die on that hill alone about Candy Crush. But it's like some of them, it's like I can kind of get, and some of them I just don't, they don't need that. And I understand that. So maybe having the ability to kind of lock down like time limits for those types of apps would be really cool. I don't know how that would work in a in kind of our situation where we're not really doing the shared use iPads because our students aren't really creating things like documents and stuff because we use iPads in our lower elementary and Chromebooks in the upper elementary. And so we're doing like AR testing and a lot of other testing stuff done on the iPad where it requires just an account to sign into the app and it doesn't necessarily save students' local data on the device. And so we're not doing the shared use where every student has its own iCloud account and things like that. The iPads are just in a cart and the student picks it up and does what it needs to do. And so I don't know how screen time would kind of function with that being as 30 minutes a day. That may be great for the first kids that use it, but maybe what about the second set of kids that come in and use the iPad if the first kids run up the 30-minute timer? What do you do? So maybe they can do something with like time limits. Well, between the hours of 8 and noon, you only get 30 minutes, and then from noon to 3:30, you can have another 30 minutes, and things like that might solve that problem. So, but I'm really interested in the Screen Time app, and I've kind of been using it, and I spend a little bit too much time on Twitter and listening to books and reading RSS feeds, is according to Screen Time, is what I spend too much time doing. Oh, and podcasts too. So I spend a lot of my time mainly doing those types of things. But that's what I'm into, and I can kind of see Apple doing this. This is a really great idea. To help people maybe put their phones down every once in a while, because it'll actually tell you how many times you pick your phone up too. And so maybe it'll kind of get people out of this habit of always being in front of our screens, and maybe we can actually talk to one another again. And so that would be kind of cool. But overall, WWDC was really a let's improve things that we're currently doing release, and I can appreciate that. I'm looking forward to. And another thing that they did, which I think is that I want to talk about, has been rumored for a while. It's called Project Marzipan, where you can basically run iOS apps on macOS. And so the big rumor was Apple was doing this basically to merge iOS and macOS. And they put up they actually acknowledged that on the screen and had a big no up on the screen saying, no, we're not doing that. But it would be, they said it would be nice for developers if, I mean, because I think they realize that the Mac App Store is like, it's kind of ironic that they picked a desert name for this year's macOS release. And so that's kind of what the Mac App Store was a barren wasteland. And so it's kind of ironic that they chose that. But they did redesign the Mac App Store to bring in some editorial features like on iOS. And they started with, believe it or not, they brought stocks to the macOS app and Apple News. And so those are actually iOS apps running on macOS using Project Marzipan. And so they're basically eating their own dog food, and they're going to be the guinea pigs themselves to see if that's possible. And if that's the case, if this works out well, that's how maybe Twitter can actually come back to the macOS just by making their iOS app run on macOS. That's how different podcast apps like Overcast and Pocket Cast can possibly come to. Well, Pocket Cast does have a Mac app. But maybe Overcast can come, and maybe that's how they'll do the podcast app that I'm wishing for on macOS is it just becomes the iOS app and in a little screen on the side of your computer. And, you know, I would be perfectly fine with that. I just want to be able to have something that syncs and I can listen at 1.5 playback speed to my podcast. And so maybe that's the way they do that. It's going to be interesting to see how, like, those applications get pushed out. And things like that when it comes to mobile device management. But another really cool thing about the macOS store is Panic is putting Transmit back in. Barebones is putting BBEdit back in. And apparently Microsoft is putting Office applications for Office 365 subscriptions into the Mac App Store. And so it appears that they've kind of loosened up on some of their sandbox restrictions, or maybe changed them up where these applications can actually still do the full feature set, but still live in the macOS store. And so I'm kind of interesting to see how that goes. But that can be our show this week. My show this week, since I'm flying solo. It's just kind of weird talking to myself. I will admit that. But Chris is off at the beach with his family and kind of jealous. My wife and son went with her parents to visit her aunt up in Arkansas. This first week after school let out, I had a lot of things that I had to get done, so I wasn't able to go with them. So I'm looking forward to them coming home later this weekend, and then maybe we can take off sometime at the end of June to go do some things. But if you want to find out more of what Chris is doing on Twitter, he posted a cool picture from Galveston today. He is at Feeks on Twitter, and I am at Twist of Matt. This week you'll see me, my wife and son were gone, like I just mentioned, and so I actually put in a network wiring closet in my house, and so my wife goes away, and I cut holes in the wall, so that's kind of what I did. So if you want to see some pictures of that, that will probably be on my Twitter, so really proud of that. We'll see you, we'll talk again next week. Hopefully we'll be back, we're into our recording together. So thanks for listening, bye.